Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. I hope you've had a good day. Miss Eve, we're going home. She said, "Honey, what do you want for dinner?" And I said, "Baby," I said, "why don't you just take a break?" And I said, "just open us a can of that soup and heat it up and make us a grilled ham and cheese sandwich." And I'm telling you what's the truth. It's been a long time since I put a can of that soup in my mouth. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey, I know now why I thank God for you." Amen. I hadn't eaten a can of canned soup and I don't know how long. Amen. And we made it and we thank God for it. But while I was thanking God for it, I was thanking it for my wife too, Brother Gary. Amen. It's a beef, I don't know what you call it, honey, beef something other. Vegetable beef soup. Okay, yeah. She's over there getting embarrassed. That's all right. She needs to turn red every once in a while over something besides my English. Amen. Amen. I love my wife. I love my wife. She's precious to me. First Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. I'm in the book of Galatians there. I've got to turn over a little bit. We'll be back in the book of Galatians a little bit later tonight. I'll try not to keep you too long. Choir was blessing, and everybody's a blessing that's here tonight. Just good to see you. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. There's four of these verses that point to Calvary, and I've called the messages this morning and tonight Calvary 3:16. Brother Richard, are you able to post these on the internet? Okay, I didn't know if they were going up or not, but so many people missing. I thought that if they weren't going up, we'd see what we could do. But I'm glad you're able to do that, brother. I know that that's usually Brother Jim's job, so I didn't know to post them up. And I appreciate that. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." If correctly read, that's 1 Timothy 3:16. You could be seated. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the house of God, Lord, with your people. Lord, I realize tonight there's a lot of us that's out, a lot of us that's sick, and different things going on. But Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, you'd meet with us. You'd be in the midst. God, I invite you to come in our midst tonight. And may our hearts be blessed tonight around the Word of God. May we tonight, Lord, just, you know, Lord, there's so much that we do to get ready for the Christmas season, even in the church and in our homes, the dinner, the play, and there's so much, Lord, that requires time. Lord, tonight I pray that for just a few minutes we'd begin to get our heart ready for the season, our heart ready for Thanksgiving, our heart ready for Christmas, our heart ready, as Brother Steve said, Lord, just to go out and try to be a blessing to others along life's way. Lord, you sure have blessed us. Thank you, God, for your family, the family of God. Lord, it's a joy to be here. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We looked this morning at the motivation of the Father in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. And then there was the misrepresentation to the fallen. If we don't abide by 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 16. And what really caught my eye on that, it said we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So it's not automatic. There's a lot of things in the Christian life that don't just happen automatically. As a matter of fact, the Word of God said that we need to be careful to maintain good works. And I believe that that's part of the Christian experience. If you have a vehicle, I was telling my wife, I let my mind wander the other day, and I started looking at pickup trucks. And mine's smoking pretty bad, but I think I can get it fixed. It's only got 327,000 miles on it. And anyway, I was looking at pickup trucks, and they want pretty nigh for a pickup truck what I paid for my house. I'm talking about a pickup truck. It's got 116,000 miles on it. It's already 7 years old. Amen. And I told my wife, I said, I got to thinking, baby. I said, just paying the taxes on that thing, I believe I can fix mine just going down the road another mile or two. Amen. For the glory of God. I'm just telling you that I believe that if you have a vehicle, you ought to maintain it. But everybody don't. If you have Christ in your heart, you ought to maintain good works. Everybody don't. You ought to forgive one another, but everybody don't. You ought to be tenderhearted, but everybody ain't. Somebody help me. And so that's how God put that in my heart. And when we don't, it's a misrepresentation to the world around us of the cross of Christ. So we saw God's heart, God's motivation, and we saw that we need to represent the cross in our lives. But then tonight I want to look at two things if I have time. I want to look at the manifestation in the flesh. And anybody that denies the deity of Christ has to deny this verse of Scripture. As, by the way, many other verses of Scripture. The Word of God said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so tonight, the Bible said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, I believe if you read this, you might say, well, preacher, there's a lot of controversy in the world over the things of God. Yes, that's true. But what Paul is saying is not there's not a lot of controversy in the world over the things of God. He's saying that without controversy, there's no controversy that the mystery of godliness is a great thing. Great is the mystery of godliness. You think about a drunkard. He's been a drunkard all of his life and never wants another drop because he got a drink of living water. You think about people that have abused their bodies with substances and abused their bodies in different ways, and they come to know Christ at the cross of Calvary, and they go away changed and never pick that up again. You think about, even as Brother Craig testified the other night, that he was a 9-year-old boy, the lives that had been spared from the scars of sin because at a young age. And that's what we ought to desire for our children and our grandchildren, is that just as soon as God fingers around that heart and begins to draw them, that they'll come to Christ. I'm not interested in trying to get a profession out of a youngin' that's not real. That's a waste of time and could be dangerous, amen? But we ought to be praying. And I remember one time Brother John told me, he said, God's done give me assurance that he's going to save my grandchildren. And I don't know when that'll be. Brother John may be on the other side, but God's given him assurance that the Lord's going to take care of the work that needs to be done in those grandchildren's lives. It's without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And the Bible said God was manifest in the flesh. Let me give you just a couple of things, beloved. Listen, I believe that it's important. You say, I don't see how in the world this has anything to do with Calvary. Well, listen to what Jesus said and you'll understand. He said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. He said, no, but for this cause came I unto this hour. The Lord, looking at Calvary, knew that that was the whole reason that he came into the world. I believe, if I understand the scriptures, that was an agreement between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost before the foundation of the world. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God didn't say, whoops, what are we going to do now? Oh no, in the foreknowledge of God, God already had a plan. God already had a man. His name would be Jesus. God incarnate. Amen. They shall call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sin. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We know these truths, but I'm afraid sometimes we take them for granted. Manifest in the flesh. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am. And here's what he said, To this end was I born. Beloved, when Jesus was helping his daddy, when he was helping Joseph in the carpenter shop, when he was sitting down in the temple with the lawyers and they were amazed at his vocabulary and amazed at his knowledge, when he was preaching on the shore of Galilee, when he thrust out a little bit on the ship and sat there and he taught the people, not as the scribes, but as one having authority. All the way along the journey, Jesus knew there was an end. And that end, as far as this walk of life, was Calvary. And he knew that. That's why he could cry, It is finished. That's why I came. I've accomplished what the Father wanted me to accomplish. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I want you to think about this. It's a familiar verse this time of year. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Let me give you this now. It's important. The son wasn't born. The Bible said, unto us a child is born, and the son is given. Beloved, the son always has been. Say amen. And you see where I'm coming from? The child was born. He became flesh. That's the child. But the son, that gives new meaning, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I don't know how anybody could even read the Bible and deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and deny the purpose in his birth. The purpose in his life was to be culminated at Calvary on an old rugged cross. The Word of God said, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that verse of Scripture? Well, if you talk about eternal life, you need to understand something. Eternal life is in the Son. You see, the Bible said this in 1 John chapter 5, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Beloved, listen, that's not taught everywhere. There's a lot of false teaching going on in the world. If somebody's trusting their membership to get them to heaven, they're not trusting the right one. Say amen. Trust in the water baptism. Trust in their good works. I talked to a man not too long ago, and he said, I believe I would go to heaven. He started naming some of the good things that he did. And I shook my head, no. Why? Because no, it won't work. The only thing that'll work is Calvary. The only thing that'll work is the blood of the Lamb, his Son, the Lord Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Almost all things are by the law, purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. I tell you tonight, Jesus was born to die. I looked up a song today. And the line in the song goes like this. He came to earth, a promise. I want you to remember that. We're going to talk about Abraham in a minute. A promise to fulfill. A rugged cross he bore up Calvary's hill. And for my sin, he cried, Father, please forgive. Born to die so that I might live. Born to die, a cruel cross to bear. Born to die, that I his love may share. Born to die, his precious life to give. born to die that I might live. Amen. Think about that. Amen. Accused of sin, yet silent he remained. No one came forth to witness for his name. Between two thieves, he bowed his head and cried, "It's finished now. I came to die." Amen. He loves you tonight. He loves me tonight. Our lost loved ones tonight, he loves them tonight. I found out a while ago, I've got a sister that's gotten sideways with the law. They've locked her up. The bail is way up there. You say, "Pastor, what are you saying?" I'm saying he loves her just as much as he loves me. Amen. If you don't have anybody in your family that's in trouble with God, then you're blessed. Most of us have somebody that, beloved, is not on the right side of the cross, not on the right side of Calvary. So tonight I see the manifestation in the flesh in 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. Now I want you to see this tonight in closing. This will close the message out, and I probably won't do it justice because I believe I could study this chapter after last week. I believe I could study it a year and just begin to scratch at the truths that God has given us in this chapter. Look at Galatians, if you would, please. Chapter 3 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Word of God said this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And the Word of God said, "He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." I don't know how in the world, in my mind, I know what I've heard through the years, how that through the nation of Israel, in thy seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I missed it. The Word of God, it's not just through the nation of Israel. It's through the Christ of the nation of Israel. It's not the seeds. His seed was going to be like the sand by the seashore, like the stars of heaven, innumerable. But what God is telling us in this chapter, beloved, that it's one descendant of Abraham that makes the difference for the Jew and the Gentile. It's not the law. Do you understand that the law was not until about 430 years after Abraham? But it's the promise of God by faith. We are looking back to Calvary. But if I understand this chapter, I'm telling you, I don't know how God communicated that to Abraham, but I do know this. It was 3 days. "I and the lad will go yonder and worship." He took him up there. He was willing to kill him. The book of Hebrews said he judged him faithful and that he was willing to raise him from the dead. I believe somehow, some way, according to verse 8 in this chapter, the Lord preached the gospel unto Abraham, and Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. I believe at the very least, when Abraham took his son, he understood this. There was going to be a substitute. He was willing, but there was a ram caught in the thicket. God was not promoting human sacrifice, but God was painting a picture that there would a day come, beloved, listen, when his son would give his life at Calvary. The Word of God tells us, beloved, in Acts chapter 22, "Having therefore obtained the help of God," Paul is preaching. He said, "I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things." Now listen to me. "None other things than Moses, that the prophets and Moses did say should come." What was Paul preaching? He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. Beloved, God's way has always been a faith way, believing God, taking God at his word. So even Moses and the prophets were looking forward to the cross. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. In Genesis 22:18, God promised Abraham that in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And Paul he's pointing out here that it's singular. It's not plural. The point is unto your seed. Who is Christ? God is referring to one specific descendant of Abraham, and that descendant is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. When I talk about the multiplication of the faithful, you think about the Old Testament saints. You think about the New Testament saints. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we all got in the same way. We believe God. We took God at His Word. What do you say, preacher? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think it's important. God gave it to Abraham by promise. I thought this was interesting. I can't pronounce it. I'll give it a try. But in the ancient Greek, it was the word kakaristai, which is based on the Greek word charis, which is grace. God's giving to Abraham was the free giving of grace. And this word is also in the perfect tense. I thought this was interesting, showing that the gift, hallelujah, is permanent. I like that. Amen. God don't give us something and then take it back. I'm thankful. Listen, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll help you now. If you know somebody, and I know people that are good people, I believe they're good Christians. How many of you know somebody that don't believe we're saved eternally? How many would say you believe it's a good man or a good somebody serious with God, loves God? You see a lot of people get in the pulpit and they'll down those people. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When I talk to them, I like to talk to them like this. I'll ask them, what is the gift of God? And they'll not hesitate. Anybody knows anything about their Bible, say the gift of God's eternal life. And I'll say this, when does an individual receive the gift of God? I've never had a person tell me but one answer. Well, when they get saved. I say, you know what? That's exactly what the Bible said. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. I believe you have Jesus right then, right there. You have eternal life. You can't get eternal life without getting Jesus, and you can't get Jesus without getting eternal life. Amen. You get them both. It's wrapped up in Him. Then I'll say to them, well, let me ask you this. If anything ever happened to interrupt that, was it eternal to start with? Let that sink in just a moment. If God, February the 22nd, 1987, and He did, gave me eternal life in an old-fashioned altar, and anything ever happened that interrupted that, was it eternal to start with? Now, I could understand their position. I really could. I'm being kind. Because I've got some great friends. One guy was an electrician in a company that I worked for. A good man, loved God, taught Sunday school. I looked at him one day, I was aggravated with him. He was aggravated with me. I said, if you wasn't a Free Will Baptist, I'd tell you to get lost. That's what I told him, amen. Harvey Farmer, Miss Eve, I don't know if you remember, but just a kind, compassionate. He's in heaven, I believe, with all of my heart, He's in glory. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Old Brother Mays Jackson, he had a fellow that was a Nazarene preacher. He said, why, Brother Mays? They preach sanctification. In other words, you can live above sin. One preacher said, the only way I figured out how to do that is move in over a bar. You'll get that, amen. Brother Mays said, that Nazarene preacher said to him, said, "Bob, Brother Mays, said, you're sanctified and don't know it." Brother Mays looked at him and said, yeah, bless God, you're saved forever and don't know it too. I think that's the way we ought to get along. Say amen. Amen. We may not dot all of our I's and cross all of our T's the same way, but if we've been to Calvary, we're going to the same heaven. If we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I'm not preaching ecumenicalism. I'm not preaching that at all. Amen. But if we've been to Calvary, we're going to heaven. And I don't care what name tag your denomination's got on it or mine's got on it. If we ain't been to Calvary, we ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Abraham, it was promised. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received promises offered up his only begotten son. How could Abraham raise the knife? Because he believed God in thy seed. You say, well, no, is he? That's what I used to think. Until I got a hold of this, until this got a hold of me. Thy seed, Isaac. Yeah, it was going to be through that lineage. But that wasn't the seed God was talking about. He's talking about the seed that's coming through that seed. The Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham believed the promise. That's why he was willing and judging him faithful. He said, God, I believe he was going to stick him and stand back and say, okay, Lord, your turn. He was saying he's able to raise him from the dead. He wasn't playing no game. Abraham wasn't playing a game with that knife. The angel of the Lord stayed his hand.
Amen.
Said, now I know you have not withheld your son, your only son. Now I know. He stood the test. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I thought about some things. If you go to the book of Romans, I won't go there tonight, chapter 4. But the Bible reiterates over and over that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. That's in Ephesians. But Abraham's taught in chapter number 4. It wasn't of works. Yes, there was a works that was obvious to mankind when God talked to Abraham. And Abraham was willing to obey God. But beloved, listen. We're saved by faith. I thought about this. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. The Word of God, listen to me tonight, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
I want you to think about this. Beloved, if you put that Word in Christ, it's so precious tonight. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed. I tell you tonight, listen to me. I thank God for my King James Bible. Amen. But I thank God that God said His Word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
But I tell you what, tonight we need to see this Word was incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Word, beloved, is where we get our eternal life. Galatians chapter number 3, I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but I'm just going to give you the gist of it right now. It started with, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? These people were called Judaizers. They were trying to mix law and grace. They were trying to pull the people back into circumcision, trying to pull them back into ceremonies and things of that nature under the law. And the Apostle Paul is teaching them here. Listen, you talk about your father Abraham. There was no law back there. The law was given by Moses. That's what the Word of God said. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God made a way, even before the law, that somebody could hear a promise from God and somebody could believe the Word of God and believe the promise from God? That's exactly what Abraham did. There was a verse of Scripture that came to life in my heart and in my mind. You know, the Bible said the law, it has its purpose. We don't do away with the law. Matter of fact, I wonder sometimes if there's enough law being preached. I'm talking about my own ministry. Beloved, it's the law that's our schoolmaster to point us to Calvary, to point us to the cross. If we don't see that we're guilty, we're going to never see that we need forgiveness. And it's the law that pronounces us guilty before God. But I want to give you this tonight. I'll give you this in closing. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. No wonder the Apostle Paul would say this, and no wonder he would say it in the book of Galatians with what's going on. And Here's what he said. Look at verse number 13 first. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Somebody tell me who has kept the law. There's a good answer to that. Who has kept the law? Somebody tell me. Who? I can't hear you. Jesus. Is that what you said, Sister Mary? I was reading your lips. Anyway, Jesus. He is the only one that's ever kept the law. The Word of God said He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yet there's a bunch of people here coming into the church at Galatia, and they're trying to pull them back under the law. You need to keep the law. But Paul said this, neither they themselves who are circumcised. He said, they're circumcised, but they don't keep the law. There's more to the law than circumcision. He said, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Brother Jeff Castle, we preached together in prison for a long time. And Brother Jeff used to say something, and maybe you can get it. I sure did get it, because I've been around enough to see. He said, we're not here preaching just so we can leave here with another notch in our belt. In other words, some people, Brother Mays said this years ago, he said, I learned a long time ago to let God keep the records. I'm telling you, even since I've been here as pastor, there's people, Brother Ralph, that I thought were born again, we're going to go for God, and it didn't turn out that way. I'm going to tell you something, God's got the record. God knows who's been born again and who's not. And there's also people where they'll make a profession of faith and you'll just wonder, and they'll get in there and be just as faithful as clockwork. Amen. I'm just telling you, God's keeping the record. But listen to me. The Bible said here that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, I believe that's what they were talking about. We got us another one circumcised. We had 20 circumcised last week. I'm going to tell you something right now. There was a day in our independent Baptist churches, that's just how we acted. We bought 20 in on the vans. That church over yonder just brought 15. You know I'm telling the truth. We had so many in Sunday school. I'm not against numbers. God put a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. I'm not against that. But if it's the boast, it's wrong. It's wrong. If I read so many chapters so I can get up and say, I read so many chapters in the Bible, I'd probably been better off let somebody else read them. Say amen. And so I believe that's what Paul's talking about. They'll glory in your flesh. But watch what verse 14 said. This gave, when I saw what Paul was teaching about Abraham, the gospel being preached to Abraham, the seed is not Isaac, the seed is Jesus. This is what brought this to life. He said, but God forbid that I should glory. Notice this. Save, that would mean except, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you tonight, that's where God wants us to glory. I believe John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, I believe Galatians 3:16, what was the other one? 1 Timothy 3:16 are all pointing us to Calvary. And that's where God wants us to glory. Not in our church. Not in our accomplishments, but the glory in the cross. There's a song that says that. I can't remember the name of it, but the line in the song says, I will glory in the cross, in the cross. Is that in the book, Brother Ralph? Is that in the book, Miss Laura? Somebody get the book and see if it's in the book. I don't know the name of it, but that's the line in the song. I will glory in the cross, in the cross. I can't remember any more words. That's all that came to me. Paul said, I will glory, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Then I had to think about you when I read this, Brother Steve, but a new creature. That's that message you brought, brother, on Wednesday night. A new creature. That's what God's looking for. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Anybody find it? Not in there. Not in there. Miss Eve, you didn't find it? Amen. You did find it? Oh, you got your music with you? Oh, can you sing it without music? Oh, you don't know it? Oh, okay. But you found it. Well, let me have your phone and I'll read the words to it. Can I do that? I'd like to do that anyway. I can't remember them. That's it. I looked at the chorus, that lest his suffering should all be in vain. I boast not of works, nor tell of good deeds. For naught have I done to merit his grace. All glory and praise shall rest upon him, so willing to die in my place. So I will glory in the cross, lest his suffering all be in vain. And I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross. My trophies and crowns, my robe stained with sin, was all that I had to lay at his feet, unworthy to eat from the table of life, till love made provision for me. I will glory in the cross, lest his suffering all be in vain. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. I will weep no more for the cross that he bore. I will glory in the cross. I like that, don't you? Maybe we can find it, Brother Ralph, and sing it someday. Maybe it's in one of the choir books. I don't know. Thank you, Sister Danita. I'm telling you tonight, when you understand that way back yonder with Abraham, God made a promise. That promise, Brother Gary, is the reason we're here tonight. The heathen, those that were considered dogs, the Gentile, God grafted us in. And it's helped me to understand that it all points to Calvary. It all points to Calvary. How many is glad you come tonight?